Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And this week, Pastor Brian begins a study verse by verse through Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, in a message he's entitled, The God of the Impossible. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. And this morning, we're going to be going through verses 1 through 14. And I've entitled this message, The God of the Impossible. And what I mean by that is as Joshua has now led the people over the Jordan, he meets the commander, the Lord of Hosts, who basically says he's the one that's in charge. And now he's going to get his directions from God on how to take the land that's been given to them. And they're going to go right into the heart of the land. Probably the most difficult part will be right here in Jericho. And there's no way for them to have the victory. God's going to have to bring it on their behalf. And so they have to walk by faith and trust and confidence in the Lord to come into his purposes and his plans. And God hasn't changed. We have to walk by faith if we're going to come into the things that the Lord has for us. There's going to be obstacles, but they're no obstacle for God. There may be obstacles for us because they look, you know, impossible or unchangeable, but God works. When the difficulties are the worst, that's when God works the best. That's when his power is manifested. And so he really hasn't changed at all from the New Testament and the Old Testament. The principles are the same. And today I would like to do in verses 1 through 14 is give you four different points to consider as we work through this portion of Scripture. And on that last point, on the fourth point, I'll divide that actually into four other points looking at lessons in faith. But the first point comes from verse 1, and I just want you to look at the circumstances or the situation that Joshua and his team find himself in. Look at verse 1. It says, Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So after they have this miracle, they come into a situation that doesn't look very good. How are they going to take the land? Now we know, because we learned in Sunday school, that you know Joshua and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, but put yourself here in Joshua's shoes right at the very beginning. And here it says that the situation was that none went out and none came in. No one was able to go in and out of the city because the doors were shut, the bar was held tight, and there was no one able to come in or out. So how was this group of people that have just come out of the wilderness after 40 years, not a military machine by any sense, how are they going to win this battle? It doesn't look very good. But yet it was the Lord who brought them to this exact set of circumstances. The Lord led them to the spots. And so often God works when it's impossible, just like the Red Sea. God led them to the edge of the Red Sea. They had came out of Egypt. The Egyptian army was chasing after them. On the other side is the Red Sea. There was nowhere to turn. But God led them to that spot. God brought them to that exact spot. And he had an answer. He had a solution. And it was a miraculous one to part the Red Sea. They had walked through the Red Sea. But they still had the trouble with these guys chasing after them. And that's when God closed up the Red Sea. He had it all planned. He had it all worked out. And he wanted the nation of Israel not to murmur and gripe and complain about their circumstances, but to look to him and to trust him. And the same is true today. God has led you to difficult sets of circumstances. And he doesn't want you to gripe. He doesn't want you to get mad. He doesn't want you to war in the flesh. He wants you to take the weapon of faith, the shield of faith, and trust him with the confidence that God's going to work things out. And I believe the Lord has, with us as a church, brought us to something similar that I want to share with you. And by going to Exodus chapter 15, uses an example of us where we're at. Exodus 15. And the setting here is, they have just crossed the Red Sea. Miraculously, God has worked on their behalf. And the first 18 verses is actually a praise or a song of Moses, singing of God's victory. So these people, God intervenes on their behalf, and they're ready to worship. They're ready to rejoice. They're ready to say how awesome God is. And isn't that like us? When God's working on our behalf, we're ready to say how powerful, how mighty, how wonderful God is. But now God's going to lead them to a set of circumstances. They're going to gripe and complain. So just like God hasn't changed, people haven't changed either. It's easy to worship the Lord and say, you know, hallelujah, and God brings our victory, and he's mighty when God's doing great things. But God would want you to have the same confidence in him when he leads you to a set of circumstances that look impossible, like a Jericho. And this is what he does here in Exodus 15. Pick it up at verse 22. says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Moses is leading them, but ultimately it's God leading them, and he leads them out to a place where there's no provision. There's no water. Now, it is a serious situation. If you don't have water, you're going to die eventually. And these people understand that, and they're beginning to wonder, you know, what's the Lord doing? Why did he bring us to a place where there is no water? So they're traveling about, and to add or to make it worse, they actually find water. Look at verse 23. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And so here now when they find water, it's not even water they could drink. It must have been like from Southern California or something like that. And it's bitter and they're not able to drink the water. So here they get their expectations up. God brings them to the Red Sea. Now they're kind of disappointed. There's no water. Then they find it. And then to their heart's dissatisfaction, it's bitter. You can't even drink it. You know, why would God do that? Why would God set our hopes up and then it comes crashing down? But God's the one that led them to that spot. God's one that brought them out in the wilderness where it looked like there was no provision, and then he brought them to that spot where the bitter water is. And you need to realize that God leads you to bitter situations as well. But not to disappoint you, not to leave you there, but to transform and change that set of circumstances to bring a blessing on your behalf. And God's plan was, he eventually showed Moses a tree. Moses took the tree, threw it in the water, and that water turned sweet. And God has a way of escape. God has a plan, but you need to trust him in confidence. Even in the situations that look like this, you know, why would this happen? Why would the Lord lead me to this sort of circumstances? Does he care for me any longer? Does he still love me? You know, Lord, why? Just like these people murmuring and complaining. The Lord doesn't want us to walk in that spirit. He wants us to walk in faith. Now, taking a step back, looking at us as a church. If you're new to the church, I'll try and give you some details to catch you up with the situation that we've just recently experienced. We had an opportunity several months back to purchase a property here in the city of La Mirada. Wonderful opportunity. The Brethren campus was an elementary school. Another church decided to stop that campus and sell it. So we entered into negotiations with them. And it's 10 acres here in the city of La Mirada. And I've been pastoring here since 1985. And 10 acres in the city of La Mirada have never come available, let alone for a church to be able to purchase it. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity. So we started pursuing it. We had to come up with $50,000, which is a lot of money. And we had to put that in escrow account and then come up with the rest of the money equaling $5 million within a certain time, or we lose that money, that $50,000. So we entered into that agreement knowing that that money was at risk, trusting that God was going to provide the rest because someone said they'd give us the money for that. That never happened. Came to the point where the other pastor said, you know, we need to move on and sell it to someone else. They faxed me over the escrow agreement. I had to sign that, and it was a disheartening day. It was like coming to bitter waters. I had to sign it saying, we lose our money, basically. We're out of the escrow. You're free now to sell it to somebody else. That was not a fun day for me or for us as a church. So it was like as if the Lord got our hopes up. It looks like it's going to happen. Here's some water over here. Not only was it not water, it was bitter water. Now we're left $50,000 that people in this church gave in faith. And no one here is rich. It's not like we had extra money saying, I don't know what to do with this money. I might as well give it to the church. It wasn't like that at all. It's out of the sweat of people's back, working hard and giving what they possibly could. And then that money is gone. Talk about a bitter situation. Well, all through it, I had a sense that God doesn't treat you that way. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible doesn't ask you to get out on a limb. You're trusting him. Then he sneaks back behind you and saws off the limb and, oh, look, you fell. That's not the way he treats people. When you walk by faith, he'll meet that. So what has happened since that point, about 10 days back, someone that bought the property, they are involved in raising up Christian schools. They have 8 or 9 schools in the Southern California area. They deal with preschools, junior high schools, as well as elementary schools. And they bought this property to put in a preschool and elementary, which it was designed for on the conditional use permit. But also, with on the permit, the city's already approved a sanctuary to go in, and that was one of the reasons we were pursuing after it. They said, we have no interest in churches. We have no interest in starting churches. So they came to us and called us and said, what we'd like to do is enter into a partnership. You build a church on the property. We'll share the property together. We'll run the school. You have your church there. We'll share it. You know, we'll be different ministries, but yet at the same time, together as one, sharing that property. Are you interested? My jaw about dropped. Couldn't believe it. It's like the Lord was bringing the situation back to us. We didn't pursue after it. And the only scripture that we had a while back was that one out of Ecclesiastes, cast your bread upon the water, and many days from now it'll return to you. And that was a sense that we had, that somehow we had no way of knowing how the Lord would work this out. So we're going to pursue that, enter into discussions with them to see what all that means and try and work out some sort of situation where we could build the sanctuary there on the campus. There's the other 15 classes that need to be built and a gym, and we'd share the facility. They'd have a school there. We would have the church facility because they like what's already been approved, and so do we. But they don't need the church. And so it'll work out wonderfully for everybody. So we're going to pursue that. In addition to that, they have no plans for the next year to deal with the property. They're going to wait a year, then they're going to work on getting a preschool in there. So they want us to lease the property. It's 10 acres for about $2,000 a month, which is, a steal. And our situation that's come up is on Tuesday nights, we don't have enough room for all the Bible school students and the women's Bible study to meet together. We've been praying, Lord, we need another place. As well as we have a homeschool group's activities during the day for some of the high schoolers. We'll have a place for them. But also, just starting September 1st, we brought another man on staff, our Armando Hernandez, full-time, and we don't have an office room for him. Our office is packed already as it is where it's at, and so we need to move out of there, and they have offices there that we could use for the next year, much larger. So we have the facility for peanuts compared to what it's worth for the next year. We'll suit our offices, we'll be able to grow into it and see what the Lord has from there, all along at the same time pursuing building a church building there. So the Lord's brought it all together. But I'll tell you what, when that situation came apart, it was hard. It was devastating for us as a church. It was bitter waters. But the Lord wanted us just to trust, not to gripe or complain or, Lord, this or that. Just wanted us to look to Him because He had an answer. He had it planned all along. He was working, although we weren't able to see His hand. And that's just typically the way the Lord works. And He'd want us to walk by faith and to trust Him. And He will come through on our behalf. So praise the Lord for that and the way that the Lord's working on our behalf.